Before we go any further, just for emphasis, let's go over that definition of being persistent again. And remember, we want to ask this question, do I fit the mold of being a persistent person according to this definition? If so, what can I do to maintain my persistence? And if not, what can I do to improve? You know, persistence can be defined as never giving up despite dislike, disapproval, or difficulties. It also means to endure despite obstacles. Some other words or synonyms that have like meanings are lasting, steady, fixed, immovable. Well, so far, how are you doing? And as we did before, let's go over the opposite or the antonym of persistence. And that was wavering, unsure, hesitant, vacillating, or easily worn down. Well, how about another very encouraging story? This gentleman set out to try to change the habit of Americans, not just one, but the entire country. Now imagine trying to take on a task such as this. It's not easy. Once I tell you his name, you will know exactly who or what I'm talking about. His name is Thomas Lipton. Now, in his day, it was coffee and coffee only. We'll slowly work into his story. Now, he really didn't appear to have any major failures per se to talk about, but there are two important things about his story that really impressed me. Let's go over the first. He learned from the failures of others, namely his parents. See, Lipton was not born into a wealthy family. His parents owned a very small store, and they barely made a living. And he watched his parents struggle, and he learned something very important from that. Now, the second point, what's usually the difference, let's say, between the small store that does very well and the small store that doesn't do very well? When I was very young, I started my own business, and I often wondered that. Here are two different people selling the same product or in the same business, but one does so much better financially than the other. Why? That used to puzzle me. Lipton figured it out early in his life, and it showed. Here's what he came up with. Now, he felt that he couldn't be successful in his homeland, so he moved to the good old U.S. of A. He stopped in the United States, and he went to New York. Now, Tom was able to find a job as an assistant manager in a grocery store. Now, one thing that made a great impression on Tom was how customers in the United States were persuaded to purchase products through top-quality advertising. Some good points here. He saw posters, displays, and here's the key word, other marketing strategies. It was very evident to him that that was the missing key or ingredient to his parents' store. So he went back home and he put his new skills to work. Now, after he left the United States and went home, he became very, very creative due to the knowledge that he now attained. One of the things that he did was he imported cheese, and in that cheese he put in gold coins. That's right, gold coins. Everybody in the neighborhood wanted to get their hand on some of that cheese. Now, to say that the cheese sold out was an understatement. Listen to this. The police were called out to keep the order. Can you imagine the feeling that he must have had when that many people showed up for his promotion? And by the late 1800s, Thomas Lipton owned more than 20 stores. Not too bad, huh? He was very successful before he started the tea business. Now, he hadn't got to the tea business yet. His stores made him a millionaire. He was able to use his skills in marketing and apply that to the Lipton tea that we know of today. And again, keep in mind that he didn't just wake up one morning and say, you know, I'm going to start Lipton tea. He walked into it, if you will, because he never quit. He worked his stores and one thing led to another, and here's how. He carried tea as a product in his store. Now, in his day, tea was sold in very, very large quantities. You couldn't buy tea in little bags. That was his great idea. So he would buy it in large quantities and put it in smaller ones. He was able to cut out the middleman and pass the savings on to his customers. He was able to cut out the middleman and pass the saving on to his customers. So then, what's the difference between two people that sell the same type of product and the one that excels so much further? They never give up when it comes to marketing. Remember this, if you don't market, you don't make it. Another person who knew the importance of marketing was Wally Amos. He was founder of the famous Amos cookies. Now, I recently saw a documentary about him, and it was very interesting. He didn't have tons of money when he started his business. Most people in sales or in any type of business know that people won't buy from you if they don't know your products exist. So how do you get people to know about your product if you can't afford to advertise? Well, that can be a real challenge, but Wally used his creativity to get to the top. He drew on his promotional skills that he learned when he was working at an agency in show business. Very interesting. He knew how to get publicity from the media and incorporated his knowledge to promote and market his cookies. He used his crusade against literacy as a springboard for promoting his cookies. So here's how he did it. When his company was preparing for a grand opening for another one of his stores, he would contact the local media and give his cookies away and invite young kids from the neighboring area. And he would then tie the both together. The kids coming in, the cookies, of course, with the literacy and the media. The media wasn't paid to come to his grand openings. They aired his story. And then that put, of course, Famous Amos and his cookies in front of the public's eye. That's exactly what he wanted, and it worked for him. Interesting, isn't it? Here's another never give up story. Perhaps you've heard the name Wilma Rudolph. When she was born, she was very sickly. Now, while most children begin walking at about a year of age, for Wilma, it was 4 years before she started to walk. Why? Well, she became sick with scarlet fever and pneumonia. Now, although she survived, her left leg suffered paralysis. Determined that Wilma would walk again, her mother massaged her paralyzed leg. She didn't give up there. Her mother would actually have her three older children learn to do the same. They would all massage Wilma's leg in shifts, four total shifts. So at the age of 8, she was able to walk using a leg brace. Soon after that, she was running and playing with other children. She was not going to let her disability stop her. Her credits to her success include two factors. One was that of the exercise. And second, her mother's advice, never give up. That advice took her all the way to the Olympics in Rome, Italy, where she received not one, not even two, but three gold medals. How about that? Well, we've got time for one more story before we start a review of the entire program. It's about a gentleman who really refused to give up. No matter what got in his way, he would get back up and go forward. He knew what it meant to be really persistent. For example, he thought he got a big break when a national shopping network decided to air him with his product, and they gave him the date of April the 12th, and 2 weeks before they were supposed to air, they canned him. He lost thousands of dollars. Another national show agreed to have him on their show, and 1 week before they were to air, they canceled him again. His personal journal reads like that of Job in biblical times here. Here's some excerpts from that journal. It says, "Today I owe $5,000, I have $20 to my name, I borrowed money from so-and-so here, and I'm $1,000 negative in the checkbook. I am 3 to 5 months behind on most of my bills," and he continues, "it's amazing how bad things are. I'm actually getting used to it. Things are so bad that this is the first time that I literally don't have money for food. I didn't even have money to mail one of my sample products out. I had to spend 5 times what I normally spend to Federal Express something because at least I have an account with them, and when I get the bill at the end of the month, I hope I have the money to pay it." Interesting. That was only 2 of many days from this gentleman's journal. Whose journal was that taken from? Yours truly. I'm almost teary-eyed when I read that. But those were the, well, not really the good old days. But the bottom line for me was that I refused to give up. Did I want to give up? Absolutely, and then some. It can be so difficult to keep going when the chips are down. What makes it so hard is when things are not going your way, it's very, very challenging to try to find hope. If there's no hope, there's usually no belief, and if there's no belief, there's usually no desire. That's a good point to remember. If there's no hope, there's usually no belief, and if there's no belief, there's usually no desire. Well, we're about to wrap things up, so let's take time to review some of the information that we've gone over in this program. First of all, we started with the definition of persistence, and we discussed that a plan usually takes years before we can become successful with it, and when it comes to making sales calls, we also want to design them in such a way that you have control to make the return call and not let your prospective client do the work. Remember, what gives you this? It's the control. Now, the point of being persistent on the right road or course was another idea. We never want to give up, and we want to keep pushing as long as we're on the right road. We don't want to be pushing a parked car. In other words, don't be irrationally optimistic. Now, I shared with you a number of psychological, if you will, reasons why we have a hard time of being really persistent. Let's review some of them. Negative self-talk can play a role in convincing ourselves that our plans are not going to work or they're simply just not worth pursuing. We want to try to eliminate that as much as we possibly can. Eliminate that negative thinking. we also must have a balanced view of what it means to be accepted by other people. If we go overboard or are constantly worrying about what others think about us, it will hinder us from being persistent. Being able to move on when problems or challenges arise is another helpful idea. You know, some people just whine about their problems and they can never focus and go forward because they're always living in the past. Having a goal or a plan was also heavily emphasized in this program. It helps us stay focused. Perhaps the most important part about the setting of goals that we discussed was the need to make our goals an absolute must. We need to be committed, not just involved. It's the difference again between the ham and eggs, wasn't it? Then there was the part about rejection. You know, the fear of rejection must be overcome if we are truly persistent. Don't focus on the negativity, focus on the whole plan. You know, feeling rejected can cause us to forget what our plan or our goal is. Enjoy the journey. If we're unable to enjoy the journey, we will limit our happiness while we're on that journey. Attitude and motive were two other ingredients that we discussed. If we are 100% committed toward attaining our goals, we're simply going to have to do things that we don't like to do. So how we view or perceive the tasks that we don't enjoy will usually set the pace as to how fast we get it done and we get to that next level. The example of the two men digging for treasure was used. Both were physically doing the same thing, but one was digging a lot faster than the other. Do you recall why? The one that was digging faster and enjoying it a lot more was told that he was looking for gold. The other gentleman was just told to dig. Motive and reasons have a lot to do with our success. Emotions play a big part in our lives, and I'm sure you'd agree with that. We need to have control over our emotions instead of our emotions controlling us. We don't want to be controlled by external stimuli if it's not to our benefit. Don't be like that bumper car. When someone hits you, it takes you off course and you go in the direction they hit you. And then you hit someone else and the same thing happens to them and it goes on and on and on. It's also important to remember that when our feelings are not in harmony with our goals, we need to ignore our feelings. As you're traveling on your different journeys, take the time to analyze your emotions. As obstacles and challenges are put or thrown before you, what kind of feelings do you manifest? Don't allow negative feelings to cause you to give up. Remember the man who had that mall built around him? He refused to give up. He put that banner over his store entrance that said, "Mall Entrance." Great example of someone who refused to give up. Now for me, one of the most helpful ideas that caused me to keep going was a statement that the smart person believes half of what he hears and the intelligent person knows which half to believe. That is a very powerful statement to go by. I've seen so many people give up on ideas because somebody told them that it couldn't be done that way, and because they believed them, they never questioned or took the time to investigate to see if maybe the other person didn't have the accurate information. So what they do, they just gave up. Don't believe everything you're told, especially when it's not in harmony with your goal. The next thing that we talked about was to not put all your eggs in one basket. In other words, don't put all your hope in one area. Look for as many possibilities as you can to keep your hope alive. For example, if you have an idea for an invention and you only pitch your idea to one person or one company and they say no, it's not going to feel great. But if you're pitching your idea to 20 or 30 different people, and if one person says no to you, you've at least got the hope of many others saying possibly yes. We then went to the three-step system that helps us to maintain our hope no matter what. We use the belief something will come up. Remember this one? This was some really good points here. Step one was to write down all the problems that would cause you to believe that something would not come up. Step two was to write the belief something will come up. And step three, wait till something does come up and write it down under step two. The point of this exercise was to create a pattern that every time you say something will come up, it does. Putting it on paper gives you proof. Now remember, the objective is to get to the point that the next time you feel like slowing down or giving up, all you'll have to do is say that something will come up and you will believe it. Once you believe it, you will eliminate the stress associated with the problem, which will in turn help you to stay more focused on the more important things, attaining that goal. Losing focus, that was the next topic. People who are really persistent cannot afford to lose their focus. Let's review some of the things that help us to stay on focus. One of the best ways to stay focused is to write down what your goals are. Know what your goals are and have them around you all the time so that you're constantly reminded of what they are. Stress was also a factor that we discussed, and that can cause us to really lose our focus. If we stay focused, we can handle stress better. Let me repeat that. If we stay focused, we can handle stress better. If we know that we're going to have a very stressful day or week, we might want to start the day or the week off by reviewing our goals for the day, and we may need to go over them several times in one day. A lack of sleep also can cause us to be more susceptible to stress. Poor diet was also caused and referred to as another factor that prevents us from staying focused. Well, what about a lack of commitment? If we're not very committed about our goals, we will easily get off of focus. We've all heard the saying, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. People who are truly committed really manifest or prove it when things get tough. Remember, it's easy to keep going forward when things are going our way. Anybody can do that. It's when things start getting a little difficult. That's the challenge. As the mental or emotional pain sets in, our level of commitment is now challenged. The higher the level of commitment, the more we are able and willing to put up with. If we don't have a high level, as things get tougher, we will begin to lose that focus, and eventually we're going to quit. Then there are the negative influences from friends and families. We discussed that. That will keep the best of us from staying focused. This can be a very hard situation to handle, though, can't it? Negative influences really can be like a cancer. If you're not careful, you can begin to believe the negative thoughts from others, such as, oh, you know, you can't do this or you can't do that. Oh, you're not smart enough. You don't have any education. So do your very best to associate with people who are positive and people who support your goals. Now, I think a good point to recall from this program is the fact that you don't have to be smart to have your goals be made into a reality. Persistence over smarts will win almost all the time. So throughout the program, I've emphasized the need to write down our goals. Additionally, after we have written them down, we don't want to forget where we put them. Keep our goals available and always keep them in front of you or very nearby. It's a great way to stay focused. Whatever it is that we're doing, we gotta make it fun. It will make the journey a lot easier. Remember, if we're not 100% committed toward a goal, we're going to have to do things that we don't like to do in order to get results. So find out what it is on your journey of success that you're not going to really enjoy and work hard to devise some way to change your perception so that it does become more enjoyable. If a task is more enjoyable, it would be reasonable to assume that we're going to finish the task quickly and with less frustration. Our gentleman with the mall entrance banner was a great example of this. If we don't enjoy what we do, we will many times do one of three things. Number one, we'll keep working and we'll do what? Well, we'll hate it, which does nothing for our performance level. The second thing is we'll bounce from one idea to another, back and forth. In other words, we'll never be like a stamp. Stick to one thing. And third, hopefully we'll eventually figure out how to make work fun, which in turn increases our performance level and our incomes. You know, I also shared with you those attitude-adjusting statements. Remember what they were? If it ain't one thing, it's, don't say it. Remember, we can't. And when it rains it, well, you know the rest. Don't get caught saying these words. They will instantly condition you to perceive that things are really worse than they really are. You know, as humans, we have created a really negative association of these statements, so negative that the moment you say it, you follow into a trap, and it's a negative one. Then there was just being plain lazy. That's another reason why so many people are not persistent. They want everything now, and they shortly give up if they don't get it. Remember, successful people realize that it takes years of hard work to make things happen. It's the rare exception that you will find an overnight success. And if a person believes and accepts the fact that their journey will take years to complete and many more to maintain, their attitude really has two roads to run on. One says, you know, I'm not willing to pay that kind of price. In other words, spend years on a particular project. Now, I'd rather personally see a person say that and not get involved than to get all hyped up and peter off halfway into the race. And because they don't count the cost, they won't finish the race. The other person looks at the future project, recognizes that it will take years, and says, you know, I'm willing to pay the price and I'll do whatever it takes to get the job done, even if it takes years. And if a person is prone to being lazy and realizes that any type of success doesn't happen overnight and it takes lots of effort, then hopefully they'll look at themselves and take responsibility as opposed to blaming negative outcomes on other people. You know, some people are just not willing to work hard and accept responsibility. Make sure you are not one of them. Another important point that I talked about was the fact that people who are very persistent usually will demand and expect more from themselves than what's norm. They don't allow themselves to be denied of reaching that goal. Now, I think it's very interesting to observe how this relates to a never-giving-up attitude. Logically speaking, if you're a person who demands more of yourself and you're halfway up that ladder and a step breaks, do you quit? Absolutely not. That step breaking could represent, let's say, maybe failure. And if you demand more from yourself, you will not accept failure. You will ultimately keep going forward. Now, how can you determine if you're the type of person who accepts more from yourself? Here's the answer. It's simple, but here it is. By your actions. You will keep going forward no matter what happens. Now, though it's a simple answer, it is one that is very accurate. Again, how do you determine if you're the type of person who accepts more from yourself? By your actions. Then there was the topic of self-esteem. You know, people with a healthy self-esteem seem to fare better when it comes to being persistent. Now, if you feel good about yourself, you will not be so overly concerned about what other people think about you. They laughed at those who said there would be a TV in every household, and they laughed at the idea of a man going to the moon. You know, many people feel due to a lack of self-esteem that they don't deserve better. Perhaps they feel that way because of the way they were treated maybe in the past or the way they grew up or they were raised. So if a person was raised in an environment where they were constantly cut down and they were told they were no good, they will many times grow up believing that. So here's what happens when they get older and want to set some goals. They start on their journey of success and soon they meet up with some friction or opposition. They tell themselves, you know, I want to keep going. Then they try to picture their goal. They keep going forward a little bit. They run into some obstacles. And now here's where their self-esteem, being very low, destroys them. It's not worth it. Why keep going? Why keep trying? I probably don't deserve it anywhere. Or as things start to improve, they begin to feel guilty about their success. They've had a hard time getting used to it. A healthy self-esteem is a vital ingredient to people who are persistent. You know, the next topic that I shared with you was the use of a leverage list. Basically, it's an index card or a piece of paper with reasons why you must not give up. Included on that paper should be names of people. Let's say the example of one day you feel like quitting and slowing down, things aren't going your way. I know you've never felt this way before, but just for now, let's pretend. And at this point, you want to be reminded of all the reasons why you need to keep going on and all the people who are behind you and all the people who are not behind you. What, you might say, all the people who are not behind me? Sure. Haven't you ever had someone say to you or someone tell you that so-and-so said you'll never make it or you'll never lose that weight? And you thought, hey, wait a minute, just wait and see. I'll prove it to you. And by thinking or saying that, it made you want to do something to get closer to that goal. I think we've all experienced that from time to time. Well, it could be said that that thought gave you leverage or gave you another reason to keep that momentum going at that particular time. Look for as many of those things as you can find and keep them on your list. It can include those who said you would never make it and those who are supportive of you. It is also vital that you keep that piece of paper or index card with you all the time so you can always pull it out when you need it. Now, I used to keep mine in my wallet for years, and every time that I would pull it out, it always gave me that extra push that I really needed. Perhaps there's someone that you have found that is very proud of you or who has helped you extensively. That person may be a good candidate for your leverage list. Now, always remember that when things get tough, we all have a tendency to lose our focus. So if we feel a little down one day and we pull out that leverage list, hopefully it will help you be reminded of some of the reasons why you should keep going and who would be proud of you if you didn't quit and give up. Then there was the discussion of the fear factor. Now, I think it's an interesting point here to note that fear is a learned behavior. You know, when we're an infant born into this world, we have no concept of what fear really is. It's as we get older, that is where we begin learning such negative behavior. And one of the worst things about fear is that it can actually have so much control over a person. It's almost like a paralysis. Fear and success simply do not go together. And here's where the problem lies. Obviously, if a person is subject or prone to fear, they are certainly not going to want to move forward, much less be persistent about working toward attaining a goal. The pain of the fear far surpasses the pleasure of their success. Additionally, fear is usually based on perceptions of past accounts or situations that may have happened or developed in our lives. For instance, if someone tries to attain a goal and for whatever reason it's not realized, some people really beat themselves up over it. Now, I've personally been guilty of that. The critical point is right when a goal is not developed the way that we think or would like it to or expect it to be. What we say and what we do right at that point will make or break our future and determine if we will develop a positive or a negative perception. Another key factor that all really persistent people have in common is that they all seem to be like little detectives. Remember we discussed that? They're always snooping and rummaging for knowledge and clues that can assist them to get over that hurdle. Be creative in your quest to get over those hurdles. And remember, I gave you some really neat ways of doing that. After that topic, I spent some time talking with you about the word ask. A person who is not afraid to ask is one who opens themselves up for a lot of no's, but usually the road to yes starts with the road of no's and lots of them. Then there was the discussion of our negative imagination. You know, it's human tendency to allow our imagination to run wild and make problems worse than they really are. In other words, making mountains out of molehills. With regards to fear, our tendency is to usually magnify the fear in our minds and make it worse than it really is. This really seems to be the case when we're just a little down or maybe our plans are not working the way we anticipated. And at this point, if we are not careful, we can start a negative momentum to destruction. The pressure of a plan not working out can be very stressful and it can cause us to throw in the towel. If we're not careful, our minds will run away with us. Self-doubt can creep in, which in turn prevents us from trying to get up and trying again. You know, sometimes you might even picture your failure as worse than it really is. Maybe you see yourself losing everything, and now as your mind continues to run along that route, you feel even worse. Now, I know I used to do that a lot. When things got really bad, the first thing that I would think of is, hey, I'm going to go bankrupt. And when I started my business, I came very close to that at least 2 times, as I shared with you. My mind would play havoc on me. We must not let our negative emotions run wild in us. Stay focused and take control. Persistent people who are very focused usually accomplish a lot. You know, I shared with you the advantages of trying to accomplish 5 days worth of work in 3 days. If you do the same, you will reach your goals quicker than you ever, ever imagined. Finally, don't blame others for your failures. Common sense should tell us that anytime we work toward reaching our goals, that we're going to meet with challenges. And I can promise you, the bigger the goal, the bigger the challenge and obstacle. You can pretty well count on that one. Imagine the disadvantage we would be at that if every time we ran into a problem, we blamed it on someone else or the economy or whatever. Many people spend more time blaming their failures on everybody else when they could have taken that time to fix the problem. I feel that's a very strong point and an important one that we not be overly concerned as to who is right and who is wrong. The bottom line is to solve the problem so that we can move on and get closer to reaching our goals. You know, truly persistent people usually don't have a chip on their shoulder either. Remember we talked about that. People with chips on their shoulders have a strong tendency to blame others for their faults or mistakes, and they find it very difficult to maintain a persistent attitude. Take full responsibility for your actions. Why? Because it is the right thing to do. Well, there you have it. Persistence, what it really means. I hope you've enjoyed this program as much as I've enjoyed putting it together. Remember, life isn't fair, nor is it easy, but with a persistent attitude, you will enjoy reaching your goals. I hope to personally get to meet you in the future. Keep in touch with my office for times and locations of my seminars and consider taking a trip with me in that Learjet. And remember that dreamers, yes, true dreamers, never sleep with their eyes closed. Sweet dreams.